Hi, I'm Grace Plotz, and I'm here to equip, empower, and encourage you to help you live your best life. Welcome to the podcast.
I believe I'm live. It says it's starting. It's gonna be funny if it's on the replay already. Starting. All right, it says I'm live, so hello. Hi, my name is Grace Plotz, who we've never met before. I want to say it's nice to meet you. I haven't come on here in almost a year, but I've had a message on my heart for almost 2 months that I wanted to share with you today. And that's the title of this message, which is The Lord of the Rings in the End Times. Now, I don't have to tell you what's going on right now. I mean, you see the headlines. And I don't know if you're like me, but you're like probably like, what the heck is going on in the world right now? I don't know, I've seen a lot of messages and I've listened to a lot of things that have to do with the end times, and I've heard a lot of messages about the last days, and I've even like some that scared me silly, and it's like Jesus' second coming as prophesied in the Bible, and that he's coming sooner than we think, and I'm just standing here like, oh my gosh, like what is going on? So I just wanted to share something with you today that I hope encourages you. Maybe some of you are gonna think I'm like completely crazy, I've lost it. Some of you maybe gonna get like a little like anxious or whatever. Some of you are going to be like happy, some of you are in the middle, but I just want to speak to you wherever you are today. So I have some stuff pulled up today that I want to read to you, but I want to ask you a question first. What do you think? Do you think it's the end times? Do you think it's the last days? What do you think? I mean, I know, like, let me just read you some stuff. So I have some scriptures pulled up I want to read to you. I'm reading of a version that has the Hebrew name for Jesus, which is Yeshua, and the Hebrew, and the correct name for God, which is Yahweh, or it also says Elohim, or Master instead of Lord. Just disclaimer. So for 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 7, it says, "Know this, that in the last days hard times shall come. For mankind shall be lovers of self, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, thankless, wrongdoers, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, fierce, haters of good, betrayers, reckless, puffed up, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of Elohim or lovers of God, having a form of reverence but denying its power. Turn away from these." And then it goes on to say, "always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." I don't know. 2 Timothy 4, 2 through 4, it says, "This shall be a time when they shall not bear sound teaching, but according to their own desires, they shall heap up for themselves teachers, tickling the ear, and they shall indeed turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to myths." You know, we'll hear what we want to hear. 1 Timothy 4, 18, "But the Spirit, the Holy Spirit distinctly says that in the latter times some shall fall away from the belief, from the faith, paying attention to misleading spirits, teachings of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having been branded by their own conscience, forbidding to marry, saying to abstain from foods which Elohim, which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth." I don't know. So probably the biggest one that has to do with the last times is Matthew 24. I'm going to read a little bit now. Stay with me here. Okay, so start verse 3. "And as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the tall ones came to him separately." So they're, all the disciples are coming up to him, one, maybe not one at a time, but just kind of like they're saying, "Say to us, when shall this be? And what is the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And Yeshua, Jesus, answering, said to them, "Take heed that no one leads you astray." Some versions say deception. "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Messiah, and they shall lead many astray." Same deception. "For you shall begin to hear fightings and reports of fighting." Some versions say wars and rumors of wars. "See that you are not troubled." I'm going to come back to that later. "For these have to take place, but the end is not yet." Later, verse 7, "For nation shall rise against nation and reign against reign, and there shall be scarcities of food, deadly diseases." That's been quoted a lot lately, huh? "And earthquakes in places. All these are the beginning of birth pains." So let me just address a few things. So first, like, we are in the end times. Jesus himself, he called them later he'll say the end of the age. So he even called them the end times. And I'm sure, like, things have happened all through history, highs and lows. There's always been this, like, shuffle of advancements and setbacks and tragedy and just terrible things happening. But through it, God has always saved his people. But the question is now, like, what time is it now? Well, we're in the end times. According to these scriptures, we are in the end times. Verse 8 calls them birth pains. So, like, birth pains, like contractions, you know, first they start off kind of slow, like they're not so intimidating. You get like this kind of groaning almost. I don't know, I've never given birth before, so whatever. But like, then the contractions start getting worse and worse and less spread apart. So you can almost think of it almost like a snowball effect. So it starts off and just keeps getting faster and faster and thicker, just like almost like slamming everything in its way if it gets strong enough, you know? So we are in the end times. So what are we supposed to do about it? I mean, I have other scriptures pulled up. I'll address in a second. But so I'm hearing all this stuff, you know, and I'm looking at these scriptures in my own time going, it's the end times. What are we doing? But you know what? Like I've just said, it's always like Jesus called them end times. So in a way, it's been the end times for 2,000 years, but people have always wanted to know exactly when Jesus is coming back. So through the years, people have pinpointed, you know, through the ups and downs of history, well, is Jesus coming back here? You know, this is happening, going through back and forth. You know, I think, like, some dates have been, like, 1999, like, 2006, 2010, 2011. I think those are just off the top of my mind. But there's been tons for the past, like, 2,000 years. So, let me go on. So, if we're in the end times, what's next? What can we expect? And then stay to the end, because I have some encouragement for you that hopefully is needed. Let's see. I have all these notes pulled up here, and they're all in papers. So they're kind of like on top of each other. Okay, so Matthew 16. You can follow along too. You can, if you don't have a Bible, you can look it up online. Just type in the scripture, the verse. So Matthew 16:3. So the disciples are still asking him, you know, Jesus, like, when are you coming back? Like, and he says, like, he's describing the weather. So, like, stormy weather today, for the heavens is red and overcast. You know how to discern the face of the heavens. So we can tell the weather, you know, like, it's going to rain, it's going to do whatever. But you are unable to discern the signs of the times. So he says right there, that maybe, like, even though all this stuff is happening, we don't exactly know the exact hour. All right, and then Revelation, if you've ever read Revelation, it's almost like you're reading code, right? It's almost like you're just like, what in tarnation is happening? So, Revelation, again, I'm in paper, so I have, like, they're kind of out of order. Stay with me. How are you today? Hope you're doing okay. This isn't stressing you out. Okay, Revelation 16:15. It says, "See, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who is staying awake and guarding his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." So he describes it as a thief, right? Also, so many papers. Why? This is ridiculous. Help me. Pray for me. What is going on? Okay. All right. I haven't done a Facebook Live in a year, and this is what I get. All right. Here we go. So, staying awake, right? He says staying awake. All right. So, back to Matthew 24. It says, "And this good news of the reign shall be proclaimed in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end shall come." So when you hear about the abomination that lays waste, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, set up in the set-apart place, he who reads, let him understand. All right. Verse 16. "Let those who are in Judah, flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not come down to take whatever out of his house, and let him who is in the field not turn back to get his garments." So no turning back, guys. "And woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing in those days. Pray that your flight does not take place in the winter or on the Sabbath, for there shall be great distress as such has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, nor shall there ever be." I'm going to skip down to 29. "And immediately after the distress of those days, the sun shall be darkened, the moon shall not give its light, and the stars shall fall from the heaven, and the powers of the earth shall be shaken. And then the sun sign of the Son of Adam, Christ shall appear in the heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth shall mourn, and they shall see the Son of Adam coming on the clouds with heaven, with power and much esteem, and he shall send his messengers with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall come, they shall gather together his chosen ones from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. So another encouragement I wanted to say to you is that so many people get scared that Jesus is coming, but we should be rejoicing almost. Because if trouble is going down, we don't want to be near it, right? So it says the trumpet sounds. I don't know if you ever heard that. It talks about in Revelation 2 that when the trumpet sounds, chosen ones out. Like, chosen ones out. All right. Next. So, chapter 25. Matthew 25, he gives more parables. Jesus speaks a lot in parables, right? I like it too, because it takes a lot of, not abstract, but things you can't touch, and makes them see to things that you can touch, right? So Jesus spoke in stories, and that's also why I really like stories. All right, so chapter 25. Then the rain of the heavens shall be compared to 10 maidens who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now, a little disclaimer, a little background knowledge for you here. So a lot of the times, not a lot of the times, but there's a lot of similarities between Jewish weddings and the second coming of Christ. Now, there's a lot that happens in the engagement period in Jewish weddings that you can go look up yourself. I mean, you can look up in everything that happens, but here's what I want to, my message I want to convey to you right now. So, the bride and the bridegroom, after the engagement periods, they go their separate ways to prepare, they each have their own ways to prepare, and they're each doing their own things, and they don't see each other till the wedding. So the bridegroom, the groom, he's going and preparing a place for the bride. So he's making a home, he's just getting things ready, and the bride is also preparing. She's also getting ready. And here's the thing, in Jewish weddings, you know, back in ancient Jewish weddings, you didn't have a cell phone for the groom to say, hey, babe, here's the wedding date. The groom would come to the bride, and then they would go to the wedding. So every single day, up until it was the wedding day, the bride would have to get ready as if it was the wedding. So that means every day she'd have to get up, you know, smell nice, do her hair, you know, she didn't have to put on all this makeup. I'm sure she did do some kind of maybe paints and oils, just getting ready, and her people with her. So in verse 1 of 25, Matthew 25, it says, the rain of the heavens shall be compared to 10 maidens who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were wise and five foolish. Those who were foolish, having taken the lamps, took no oil with them, but the wise took oils in their containers with their lamps. Now, while the bridegroom took time, they all slumbered and slept. And I think my messengers, making noise. Hope it's not saying I can't hear you. I hope you can hear me. Hope you can see me. Hope everything's okay. Okay. So now, while the bridegroom took time, they all slumbered and slept. So while the bridegroom's going and preparing all this stuff, they're sleeping. They're not awake. I mean, I don't know, how many times, I'm going to read you some verses where he says, stay awake. So they slumber and slept, and at midnight a cry was heard, see, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him. So then all those maidens rose up and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, give us your oil because our lamps are going out. So they didn't prepare. And the wise answered, saying, no, indeed, there will not be enough for us and you. Instead, go out to those and sell them by yourselves. They're like, guys, you didn't prepare. You guys, we can't have oil. You have to go get your own. There won't be enough for all of us. And while the ones went to go get oil, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. Verse 11. And later the other maidens came, also saying, Master, Master, some versions say, Lord, Lord, open up for us. But he answered, saying, truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, because you do not know the day, nor the hour in which the Son of Adam is coming. So, they didn't prepare. They slept, you know? The thing about sleeping is that you don't know what's going on. You're just off. Your eyes are closed. You're thinking, maybe if you're dreaming, you're thinking about other things. In chapter 24, verse 36, he says, "But concerning the day and the hour, no one knows, not even the messengers of the heaven, but my Father only." So God only knows when that trumpet's going to sound and when technically the end of time, like the very end of time, not just the end times, but the very end of time is. He goes on to say, "And as in the days of Noah and the flood, so also shall the coming of the Son of Adam be, Christ be. For as they were but in the days before the floods," people are just like completely oblivious to what's going on. They were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. "And as they did not know until the flood came and took them away, so also shall the coming of the Son of Adam be." Then it gives, you know, this chilling description that's depicted in lots of end time movies and books. "Two shall be in the field, the one is taken and one is left. Two shall be grinding at the mill, one is taken and one is left. Watch, therefore," there's that word again, "watch, therefore, for you do not know at what hour your master is coming. And know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would have come, he would have watched, not allowed his hour to be broken into. He watched. Because of this, be ready too, for the Son of Adam Christ is coming at an hour when you do not expect him. Who then is a trustworthy and wise servant? Whom his master set over his household to give food to them in their season. Blessed is that servant whom his master, having come, shall find him doing so." And my note is on the ground. Let me get it. verse 47. Truly I say to you that he shall set him over all his possessions. But if the evil servant says in his heart, "My master is delaying his coming," and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of the servant shall come on a day when he does not expect it, and an hour he does not know. And he shall cut him in due and appoint his portion with the hypocrites, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The interesting thing there is that both the servants that fell asleep and the evil servant, they both said, "My master, my master, my lord." And I have this pulled up here because it's in paper, but it's in a book, the Bible. Also, pay listen to this. This is very sobering because we have to be sober, you know? Hold on. Listen to this. Matthew 7:21. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Master, master,' not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' not everyone who calls him Lord, shall enter into the reign of the heavens, the kingdom, but he who is doing the desire of my Father in the heavens. Many shall say to me in that day, 'Master, master, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and done many mighty works in your name?' And I shall declare to them, I never knew you." He said to the same thing in the foolish people who ran out of oil. "I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work lawlessness." Lawlessness. He called them Lord, and he says, "I don't know you, and you work lawlessness." I think the word lawlessness there means like absolutely no good, like having like no, I think it's discernment, but I'm not 100% sure. We got to look it up, right? So, recap. So fall asleep, you know, fall asleep. It says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Master, master,' shall enter into the reins of the heaven, but he who is doing the desires of my Father." The desire. What is the desire? Turn with me over. If you are electronic, you are lucky. And I'll get to what the heck the Lord of the Rings has to do with anything. All right, the desire, huh? All right, I think it's my, if it's also on the ground. So unprofessional, Grace, I know. All right, so I think it's back in Matthew 24 or 25. It's verse 14, "For it is like a man going from home who called his own servants and delivered his possessions to them. And to one he gave 5 talents." This is the parable of the talents. Talents is also a form of money, but I like the word talent. I don't know. He gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability, and went from home. And he who received the 5 talents went and worked with them and made another 5 talents. In the same way, he with 2 also gained 2 more. And he who had received the 1 went away and dug in the ground and hid the silver of his master. And after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came and brought the other 5 talents, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more besides them.' And the master said to him, 'Well done, good and trustworthy servant. You were trustworthy over a little. I shall set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And then he who had received 2 talents came and said, Master, you delivered to me. You gave to me. You gave to me 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more besides him. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy servant. You were trustworthy over a little. I shall set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And to the one who received the 1 talent also came and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And being afraid, I went and hid your talent in the ground. See, what I have is yours. And his master, saying to him, You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown, and gathered where I have not scattered seed. Verse 27, Then you should have put my silver with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore take away the talent from him. He was talking to his other people. And give it to him who possesses 10 talents. For everyone who possesses more shall be given, and he shall have overflowingly. But he who does not possess even what he possesses shall be taken away. And throw the worthless servant out into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And when the Son of Adam, when Christ, comes in his esteem, his glory, and all the set apart messengers with him, and he shall sit on the throne of his esteem, his glory, and all the nations shall be gathered before him. All the nations shall be gathered before him, and he shall separate them one from another, as a sheep separates as a shepherd separates his sheep from the goats. Here's one more. So again, he called him master, and he's like, he hid his talent in the ground. He didn't even like put it with something where it could be useful. He just buried it. I find it interesting. I'm going to point out to you that he said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, and I was afraid. He did not know the heart of the Father. He called him master, but he did not do the desire of it in the heavens. And now even people here, and he says, back in Matthew 7, he says, Lord, but we prophesied in your name. Even people who did things, you know, what's the dividing line? But I'm going to share this one more thing with you. Okay. Verse 32, when, and the nations shall be gathered before him, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd separates his sheep from the goats, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand. Sorry if the camera's first. This is my right hand. I guess that thing for you? I don't know. Well, just right hand, but the goats on the left. And then the sovereign shall say to those on his right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the reign prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. They have the heart of the Father. Then the righteous shall answer him and say, Master, Lord, when did we see you hungry and we fed you, or thirsty and gave you to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and took you in, or naked and clothed you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and came to you? And the sovereign and the king shall say to them, Truly I say to you, in so far as you did to one of the least of these my brothers, you did to me. And he shall then say also to those on his left hand, Go away from me, accursed ones, into the everlasting fire, the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his messengers. I want to pause here. Hell was never made for human beings, so anybody who ever says, who is God that he sends his own people to hell, he doesn't. Honestly, we choose our own way of destruction. The Bible says that man cannot serve 2 masters, so he will love the one and hate the other. If we are serving ourselves, if we call ourselves Lord, we can never understand the heart of the Father and never do what he has asked us to do. So we essentially turn our back on him and say, you know what, whatever, God, I don't want anything to, I'm following my own way. But if we're not serving God, we're serving flesh, we're serving ourselves, we're serving wickedness. Okay? So then he said to those on his left hand, Go away from me, accursed ones, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his messengers. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. I was naked, you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, you did not visit me. And they shall also answer him, saying, Lord, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not serve you? Where was this opportunity, you say? And he shall say to them, Truly, I say to you, in so far as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. and these shall go into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into everlasting life. So there's a lot I want to recap here. So there's the staying awake. There's the heart of the Father. There's doing things. So like there's a lot in our part, but there's let me pause for a second to clarify. So we got a lot of people going on here. Some are doing the right thing, some are doing the wrong thing. Some slept and were caught off guard and did not prepare. Some were preparing from the beginning. Some were like the servants. Some were doing things, and they had the heart of the Father, and they were multiplying. And that here they were taking care of his people, while other people, the one servant buried his talent. These people did not take care of other people. But here's like a confusing line. So it says, "Lord, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and done many mighty works in your name? And I shall declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work lawlessness." So what is the dividing line? Let's go on. Matthew 7:24. "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them shall be like a wise man who built his house on the rock." Okay, so it almost like we're shifting, but it's still 100% connected. "And the rain came down, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock." The rock. So we're listening to the word, right? We're founded on the rock, listening to the truth. "And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them shall be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain came down, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and they beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." And it came to be when Yeshua, when Jesus had ended these words, that the people were astonished at his teaching. So we have this dividing line here. We have people not doing things, we have people doing things. And sometimes, like, okay, so even the people who were doing things, it said they were declared wicked. So what is the dividing line? Well, here, I'm trying to connect this. I hope this is making sense. Okay? Comment below if this is making sense. I'm not supposed to say comment, because it'll... Anyway, let me know if it's making sense. It's going to come full circle. So he says, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them shall be like a wise man." So what does this word have to do? It says, I think it's in like 1 Timothy, or it's in Timothy, verse 2. It says, like, every word of Elohim is, every word of God is profitable for teaching. Every single word. And what did we just read? I think it was in Matthew 24. It said that we will want to, or no, it was also in 1 Timothy. It says that we will listen to words that will tickle our ears. You know? We'll want to hear what we want to hear. So there's like a dividing line of truth. So what is the truth? Well, the good news is that it's in the good news. So we can be 100% prepared. And this is where I want to encourage you. So far we've talked about staying awake. We've talked about calling. We've talked about the Lord thing. We've talked about like Lord, the whole Lord, I did this. I didn't do this. We've talked about talents. We've talked about the signs of the end times. Okay, now we're coming full circle. All right, now listen to this. 1 Thessalonians 5:1-11. We're going to read that, and we're also going to go on 21-24. "Now, brothers and sisters, as to the times and the seasons, you do not need to be written to. I don't need to tell you about this, right? That's what he's saying. For you yourselves know very well that the day of Yahweh, the day of the Lord, comes as a thief in the night. When they say peace and safety, then suddenly destruction comes upon them as labor pains." There's that word again, "or pregnant women, they shall not escape." So they're saying peace and safety. "But you, brothers, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief." Now hang on a second. We shouldn't be surprised. I mean, we don't know when he's coming, but we shouldn't be surprised. So what's the balancing act? "For you are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness, so then we should not sleep." Now, it's not talking about insomnia, obviously, right? "We should not sleep as others do, but we should watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But we are of the day and should be sober, putting on the breastplate of belief and love, and as a helmet, the expectation of deliverance, because God did not appoint us," where is it? "Did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain deliverance." Some versions say salvation. "To appoint us to salvation." Where we are? Verse 9. "Verse 10. Who died for us, so that whether we awake or asleep, should live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up indeed as you do. Prove them all, hold fast to what is good. And there's another verse in also chapter 24 of Matthew. He who endures to the end shall be saved. Hold fast to what is good. Keep back from every form of wickedness, and the Elohim and the God of peace himself sets you completely apart, who cleans us in your entire spirit and being in body, being preserved blameless at the coming of our Master Yeshua Messiah. He who calls you is trustworthy, who shall also do it. There's a lot of verses. I think there's specifically one in 1 Peter who talks about that, you know, the bride and the bridegroom, you know, he's coming. Well, so he's coming back also. The church is also called the bride. But he's coming back for a clean bride. So, listen, this, I hope this comes full circle. Hold fast, verse 21, hold fast what is good. Keep back every form of wickedness. And the Elohim of peace himself sets you completely apart in your entire spirit, being in body. So all around, be preserved blameless at the coming of our Master Yeshua Messiah. Hold fast to what is good. Hold fast to what is good. So keep awake. Also, I want to address the sober and being asleep. So we've addressed being asleep. You know, your brain is turned off. But when you're taking part in things, you shouldn't be taking part when you're, I don't know, drunk or doing other things you're not supposed to do. Like your security system. I think it's like some people call it like your firewall system is down. Like you can't discern. And how many times did it say deception? All right. I hope this is cool for you. All right. Now here's exactly what I'm trying to come full circle with. I said that how many times? Okay. Oh, paper. You're great, aren't you? You're getting messed up. Okay. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. So also Messiah, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, shall appear a second time, apart from sin, clean, to those waiting for him unto salvation. So obviously he's waiting for people he's looking for people who are waiting for him, who are holding on to his word, his rock. The word is also called our sword. So not only is it our rock, I mean, like, I think it's in, like, I think 1 Corinthians, forgive me, I've got a lot of notes here that it's, like, scriptures. But there's a lot here that talk about exactly, like, here, let me read you this. John 14:2-3, let not your heart be troubled. Also in 1 Thessalonians, it said, you know, we don't have to, like, it shouldn't take us by surprise. So let not your heart be troubled. Also in 1 Corinthians says, or not 1 Corinthians, Matthew 24, it says, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in Elohim, believe in God, believe also in me. This Jesus talking. In my Father's house are many staying places. And if not, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. So he's also leaving to prepare a place for us. So he's going. He's gone. He's preparing something for us. And our job as the church, get clean. Get ready. You know, like the bride smelling fresh, getting her hair nice. We got to get clean. Get ready. I don't know. But for when, you know. Okay, so verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I shall come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you might be too. It's awesome. Let that sink in. All right. Two things. I hope now. So now we've got all this stuff. We've got, oh, sorry, shook the camera, probably shaking it 3 times. So we've got all this stuff. We've got talking about the end times. We've talked about the signs. We've talked about, like, the Jewish wedding similarities. We've talked about how many times. So the question is, what time is it now? We don't know. We don't know the time. We don't know the hour. But here. Last few things. All right. I'm going to wrap up. This is getting kind of long. Sometimes when I see a live, that's like, so far we're going 33 minutes. Sometimes when I see a live, it's like, so however long, I'm like, oh, I don't know if I want to watch it. But thank you if you stayed through the end. Really appreciate it. I hope to encourage you here in just a second. Second chapter of Acts. And it shall be in the last days, says Elohim, that I shall pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. And also on my male servants and my female servants, I shall pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And I shall show wonders in the heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon, moon into blood before the coming of the great and splendid day of the Lord. And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name, of Yahweh, everyone who calls in the name of Yahweh shall be saved. Everyone who calls in the name of the Lord shall be saved. Two more things. Stay with me. Thank you. Being persuaded of this, that he who has begun a good work in you shall perfect it until the day of Yeshua Messiah, until the day of Christ Jesus. Last one. Jude 1:24, and to him who was able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his esteem with exceeding glory. All right. I want to wrap this up for you. It's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of scriptures. There's a lot of information we just covered. I hope you, I gave you the verses. Maybe I can put them in the description below. But we've covered a lot. A lot of them overlap in the themes, especially the whole Lord, Lord stuff. But there's also a lot of stuff coming back. So let me make this really clear. So obviously, we are in the end times. We don't know the exact hour. I mean, we don't know if we're in the last hour. We don't know exactly where we are on the whole time frame. We could have 1,000 more years. We could have 2,000 more years. Heck, you could live for 50 more years. You could live for 200 more years. You could live for 100,000 more years. But what does it really matter? You could live the best life. But if you don't know what waits for you on the other side of eternity, it's nothing. All right. Look at this with me. Like, I hope I shared this. Like, I've covered a lot of stuff, so my brain is kind of like, woo, where are we going? Whenever I used to think about eternity, it would just freak me out. Like, I'd just be lying in bed as a little kid, just like, and then the thought of forever and what that really meant would just, like, come into my brain, and I'd just freak out, like, just considering the depth of that meaning. And I would freak out, and I'd just go cold inside, and I'd comfort myself with the thought that when the time comes, you know, I'll be like an 80-year-old grandma who lived a full life, you know, essentially being more prepared for eternity or the coming of the Lord. But we don't know the hour, and I don't have the confidence of being an 80-year-old grandma being fully prepared for that. But it says, he who began a good work in you shall perfect it until the day of Yeshua Messiah, and he was able to keep you from stumbling. So obviously, we're supposed to be walking things out. Otherwise, you know, because you won't stumble if you're just staying still. Laws of physics right there. If you're staying still, you can't stumble. If you're staying still, you're hiding things. If you're staying still, you're covering things up. I don't know. I'll let you think about that. So we don't have the confidence of being like this much time. And I really hope this has brought something out in you. I don't mean to stress you out. The goal of this message was not to stress you out. It's to get you, honestly, to wake up. It woke me up like crazy, and I'm not stressed anymore. In fact, like yesterday, I just remember thinking to myself, like, I was just crazy happy, like just excited for life. Things are happening, you know? I don't know. That was just me. So if you want to live under the stress, just be like, oh man, when's he gets to come back now? Is he come back now? He says we don't know the hour, but if we're cleansing ourselves and we're letting the Holy Spirit do a work in us, we're letting him perfect us. Because, okay, so also in Proverbs it says that if we hide our sin, like, I don't remember like the exact quote, but it's like if we conceal things, it'll get worse. If we hide things that God wants to fix, he can't fix it. He's not going to just take things from us. He's a gentleman. He doesn't force things upon us. He doesn't force us to call upon his name. He doesn't force us to go to heaven. It's 100% our choice. But he doesn't make us like take things. He doesn't take things that we don't want him to take. So if you don't want him to take your pride, he won't. If you don't want him to take your selfishness, he won't. If you don't want him to take your fear, he won't. And it really, really bugs me when people call it, like, my depression, my fear, my sickness, because you're holding on to it, and that basically, if you're calling it mine, you're not giving it to God. I don't know. My mini rant for the day. My voice is starting to get little, but we gotta wrap this up, right? So, lots happening here. My theme isn't for you to just be stressed out. My goal is for... Let me tell you this. The title of this is The Lord of the Rings and the End Times. The reason I bring that up is because, I don't know if you've ever read The Lord of the Rings or watched the movies, but there's this, it's incredible, I really, really like the story. And then, so right before the main character, Frodo, the shy little hobbit, humble character, you know, the humble character, he's basically called to go on this quest that he doesn't know if he's ever going to come back from. He really doesn't want to do it. And the mentor character in this quest, basically Gandalf, he basically says, like, well, okay, so Frodo says, I wish it need not have happened in my time. And Gandalf says, I have the quote pulled up here. I don't have it memorized. He says, so do I. Gandalf wishes the same thing. And so do all who live to see such times. But that is not for them to decide. All that we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given us. And I can't say it like Gandalf. I'm sorry. But that's the million-dollar question. How much time do we have left? I don't know. It could be, you know, people always say Jesus could come back tomorrow, and it's true, he could. He could come back tomorrow. He could come back a week from now. He could go back 5 years from now or 10 years from now. It doesn't matter. Things, you know, this, whatever's happening right now may not be the end of the world. It might just be a shakeup. It might just be a shakeup to get us to wake up, because he doesn't want us to sleep. Obviously, he wants us to know his heart. Otherwise, he wouldn't have poured so much of it into our laps that we can read at any time. He wants us to know his heart. That's the end goal. And so he doesn't, if you know his heart, he doesn't want you to fail. He's not looking up there with oh, if you get this many wrong, you don't get to come up to heaven. That's not his deal, okay? He's outside of time, and I hope you find confidence in that. And maybe if you were like I was, like, man, I wish I wasn't, like, around during this. I wish I didn't have to deal with this. We didn't get to decide that. But we do get to decide what we do with the time left. So, God knows exactly the hour we're living in. He knows exactly the day we're living in. He knows exactly how much time is left. He knows exactly how much he's got to clean you. He knows exactly how much... I mean, maybe this is a wake-up call. Maybe we have 20 years, and maybe you're going to live... I have this sign behind me, adventure. Maybe he's going to just put the most exciting adventure in your life in 20 years, and this is your wake-up call. The saddest thing in heaven is when we realize all the opportunities we missed up on. And maybe we didn't even know there were opportunities, but God totally wants to show us, because he doesn't want us to fail. He doesn't want us to miss this hour. He wants whatever is stirring to be perfected. So I really hope you're getting my point here, that whatever hour we're at, the heart of the Father is just to let you... It's just to take you on an adventure. It's just to make you into something amazing. He even if you never change, he still loves you. I think this is the crazy thought, that he loves you very much right now. I mean, you might think, oh, if I become better, you gotta love me. God loves you the very same now as he will 20 years from now if you're, like, living his life for you. He loves you the very same. And I think that's just an incredible thought. So, you're alive right now. We're in the time, but we're not done. Until the trumpet sounds, we're not done. I encourage you to go read these scriptures and think about what they really mean. If you're my age, we still have things to do. We can help our parents, you know, fight their fights. I mean, there's things we can fight too. Do you know, I was, like, for 2 months, I was so freaked out to just share this. Like, it's, like... thinking about this, like, just scares me. And there was, like, a part in here where I just, like flipping through my papers, and, like, should I just start over? No, I'm just really happy I got it, and I really hope you're getting this. So, God doesn't want people to join his good people club, honestly. If you call him Lord and you're trying to be a good person, that's not enough. So he doesn't want people to join his good people club. That's not what it's about. Being a Christian is not being, like, some person in a stained glass window who did all these good deeds. It's to know the heart of the Father. Really, the essence of being a Christian is to know God, because you've never felt anything until you feel the love of God. I really hope you're feeling it right now. God, I hope they're feeling your love right now. And I want you to, like, just be transformed by the inside out, because I just want you to have complete confidence that whatever time he sounds a trumpet, that you're awake All right, that's what I want for you. And I'm not trying to say that, oh yeah, you know, I'm like this awesome person, you know, I know exactly what's happening, and I'm going to help you work it out, you know, be like almost like a success guru. Like, I've gone through it. Download my free webinar. I'll help you too. I've made like $5,000. Those videos drive me nuts. I just want you to respond to whatever he's asking you to do right now. So if you don't know where you stand, I'm just going to say this prayer real quick. And even if you do know where you stand, I want you to say it too. Okay? So I'm just going to do this quick prayer. If it says, everyone who calls in the name of the Lord will save, but it also takes endurance. So once you pray this prayer, it's not just like, yes, I'm a good person. It takes a walking out that he's more than happy to share with you. And some final action steps. If this is overwhelming you, I encourage you just to ask God himself. Like, just, God, what's going on right now? Like, show me the truth. Show me your word. What does your word say about what's happening right now? I mean, there are some really awesome people right now who are just putting out so much encouragement right there. I'd really recommend, you don't have, and you know what, even if this is the end of the age, we don't have to be depressed about it. I want to remind you that his promises still stand. You know, we can still rest, but we can't sleep, guys. We can still rest. We can still smile. We can still dream. We can still have adventure. We can still, you know, we're going to go on a car ride later today. Honestly, I was hearing all this stuff. Like, is it still okay to dream? Is it still okay to, it's still okay to dream. Dream with God. It's still okay to smile. So I just want to pray with this because this is getting kind of long. It's the longest message I've ever done. So it's a lot of information though. So just, if you want to pray this with me, go ahead. So it says, well, yeah, let's do this. So if you're just tuning in right now, you can just, I'd recommend going back to the end of the message, seeing what the heck I mean by the Lord of the Rings and the end time to see. But just stick with me here. Okay, ready? Okay. So God doesn't want people in his good people club. So if that's what you're looking for, it's to know the heart of the Father, okay? So pray this with me. You don't have to close your eyes. Do whatever you want. Okay, so you say, God, I come to you and acknowledge that I'm a sinner. You know I need you in my heart, and I need to know your heart. I want to know your love, Jesus. I want you to show me exactly what life is supposed to look like. I want you to show me exactly what joy looks like. I want you to show me exactly what peace is looking like. Sorry if I'm going too fast. I want you to show me exactly what it feels like to be your child. And I want you to show me the truth, not just of what I want to hear, but show me what's wrong in me. I pray that you correct me right now. Everything I have is yours. So, show me your promises, and thank you that when I come to you, you say, if I call on your name, so I call on your name right now, Yahweh, creator of the universe, that you want me as your own. You want, the God who created everything wants to know you, friend. So I ask that you mark my name in the Lamb's Book of Life and make me your child. Call me your own and show me your love and show me what life looks like. Amen. I hope you were to stick with me through this. And I really hope, you know, my goal is for this, honestly, is just to get you to just direct your attention, just to wake up. The Bible says that if there's a promise that if we draw near to God, he will draw near to us. That's an amazing promise if you really think about it. It's still something I'm still learning. I'm still learning. Guys, I'm not like perfect. I wanted to come on here to share this with you, what's on my heart. So I'm not just like this perfect, I'm not the poster child for a perfect Christian. Absolutely not. I'm learning how to hear his voice. I'm learning what adventure looks like. I want to go on an adventure, guys. All right? So my goal for this message is for you to make way. All right. I really hope I didn't leave you with too much stress. I really want to encourage you that God is still on the throne and he knows the exact hour. And as his child, He's going to help you. He's going to perfect whatever's in you. And if you're getting nervous, I just want you to declare in faith those two verses. You know, he's able to keep you from stumbling and that he'll perfect whatever he started in you. God, finish what he starts, right? He's still on the throne no matter what happens. So pray for me that that both of us will endure, that we'll hold fast, that we'll keep our stand, you know? All right, so I encourage you. I will see you next time. Maybe I'll do a part two on this. We'll see. All right, bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Be sure to leave a review and subscribe so you can be equipped, empowered, and encouraged throughout your week. You can also check us out at hometreats.org to read our story and see where else you can find us on social media. Thanks again for listening. Until next time.